Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we have a guest. You probably know most from Seinfeld, Larry Thompson, and he had a very interesting career while I was reading about him. So let's bring on Larry.
Hello.
Hi, Larry. Welcome to Daytime After Dark.
Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to correct you. The name is Thomas, not Thompson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I remember, you know, when you were on Seinfeld, and it was so hilarious. And I just thought, even back then, they could have used you more than they did. I mean, you were on it for, what, a couple times? Or how many times were you on it?
Two.
Seinfeld.
Yeah,
I tried one episode
and then the finale.
They messed up because the way your character was on there, I would put you on there for a whole season because, you know, it's, you know, like I said, you were funny on it. And, you know, I think Seinfeld messed up with that because, you know, you were funny and you made the show a little better. I mean, okay, really Seinfeld, I know. But you just, it was just funny, and back then, by now we could use it, I think. So yeah, I was working on Seinfeld.
It was really easy, you know, really fun and really easy. They were all very nice, and they just made my job really easy to do, and working off of them, you know, with them and off of them, just a pleasure.
Well, I mean, that is really cool because, you know, when you come into a show, that is already, you know, known. And, I mean, I just thought that, you know, like I said, you could have been on more of, you know, it. But, you know, maybe they will bring Seinfeld back. They are bringing so many other TV shows back. I've been thinking Seinfeld could be back. I'm surprised that they haven't brought Seinfeld back when they are bringing Friends back. They brought Full House back. To Full House, I just thought maybe by now we were seeing a reboot of Seinfeld. I'm surprised that we haven't seen that.
I, to tell you the truth, I would be surprised if they did it, because I know that Jerry's not really interested in doing that. He likes doing his stand-up, and he's kind of a different Jerry now than he was, you know, on the show as his character, you know, on the show. And Julia has had so much success.
Oh, yes, she has.
I think she wants to relax a little. And I know Jason lot of other things. So, yeah, I don't know that they'd really want to, you know, do it again.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, yeah, thank God, goodness for Zulia because he had breast cancer, and thank God they got it. And so I was really worried about her for a while. It was just, you know, really, you know, I felt so bad for her. So, and you were also in the movie, I actually saw, I don't know, having brothers. Yeah, that's got me into Seinfeld with my brothers. But Austin Powers, how did that into Nelson Mandela mystery? Because, you know, that was a really good movie.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It was a really fun movie to do in so many ways because I got to work with Robert Wagner, which was
I love him.
Thrilling. Yeah, you know, I grew up watching him. And Mike Myers, when you work with him, he's so funny. He tries to make you laugh. Like, in the middle of the scene, he tries to make you laugh. He makes faces at you when he's not on camera. And it was so hard not to laugh when I was on camera. But he was really fun to work with, and that whole scene was just fun. The interesting part of that scene, though, if you ever want to watch it again and look real closely, is every word that everyone said in that scene had to be redubbed in afterwards. Because
oh, really?
Yeah, there was so much noise in
oh,
the
gosh.
Casino from the slot machines constantly going off. And they thought, because we started filming it at midnight, and they thought maybe that would take care of the noise. But, you know, Las Vegas goes all night, and it was just as noisy. So we had to all, one by one, go into a sound studio in Los Angeles. And, you know, they call it looping when you dub your own lines. And you have to kind of match your own mouth movement so it looks like you're speaking. And when you watch the scene, it's almost perfect. You really can't tell. But everybody seen every word looped in later.
I'm
going to
get that this weekend. And now you got me really curious.
Yeah,
It was, you know, I mean, it was an awesome movie. You know, I think Mike Myers is a genius, whatever he does, no matter what. You know, he just, you know, is a genius with all the movies he's done and created. I just think that is probably a really good talent, really there. And also, I'm jealous of you because you were on Arrested Development as a Saddam Hussein lookalike. Okay, number one, I would feel sorry for you because, you know, that, you know, it was 2006 when you did that, I think. Yeah, 2006. So how was that? Because I love Jason Bateman. And I think Arrested Development was a really great show. I really loved how they were on and then they came back for a while.
Yeah, you know, that was another really fun job to do because I was a big fan of Arrested Development as well. And I have this long history with Jeffrey Tambor that it was sort of responsible for me getting the job on Seinfeld in the first place.
Really? That is great.
Back, he was in my acting workshop, and he was a substitute teacher, And he did me a big favor by introducing me to the casting director of the Larry Sanders Show, who also was casting Seinfeld. So that's kind of how I got considered for that. And then on Arrested Development, on a previous episode from the one I did, Jeffrey's character, with Jason Bateman, said, you know, "Dad, here's a picture of you with Saddam Hussein." And Mr. Bluth said, "Oh, I thought that was the actor that played the soup Nazi. I told him I loved his work." So when they called my manager and they wanted me to audition for a Saddam Hussein lookalike, I said, "Remind them that they've already said I look like Saddam Hussein." And so they went, "Oh, yeah, that's right." So they just gave it to me. You know, I didn't have to.
Well, you deserved it. I mean, really, you deserved it. And so, you know, give it to you was a really good idea, because that show in itself was a really good, you know, show to get into. And when they brought it back, and I just thought, you know, that was one of the really good TV shows. And, you know, and also 2012, you appeared in the soup Nazi in the commercial with Jerry Seinfeld and Jay Leno. Okay. Jay Leno would be my dream, one of my dream guests to ever get. I know it probably won't ever happen for me, but how about that? Because I never missed, you know, I never missed a night of Jay Leno. I mean, even when I was younger, I would sneak up and watch him. And throughout when he retired, I was really sad, because I just felt like he was so great. And, you know, I mean, you had Leno and then Letterman retiring in a span of a few years. So it's like, no, this is
I'm
not
actually from the Johnny Carson generation myself. You know, I grew up watching Johnny Carson, but the Leno, you know, I didn't get to meet him when we did the commercial.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
I tell you what, I live in Los Angeles, and Jay Leno loves to, you know, drive around in his classic cars that he collects. And there used to be this classic car store that had all kinds of manuals and stuff. And I was doing a morning run one time, and I was running by there, and Jay Leno pulled up in a Stutz Bearcat and got out. And he just walked by me, and he looked at me, and he goes, "Hey, how you doing, man?" and walked into the store. And that was my Jay Leno encounter, but he seemed like really nice guy.
He always seemed like a really good guy, and always, you know, with, you know, all the talent that he had, and the way Johnny Carson gave Jay Leno the go ahead when he retired. I just thought that was awesome. I mean, I did watch Carson, but I was a little younger watching Carson. And again, I snuck out of bed for that. But, you know, no one ever found that out. And until they listen to my shows, then they find out everything I've done. And also, in 2011, you dress up as soup Nazi at the mess game. Okay, so you dressed up at the soup Nazi at a mess game. Okay, my question is, what would the Yankees do to you? I mean, I'm just thinking New York Mets and Yankees, and you were at the mess game. I'm like, I would be kind of afraid.
Well, you know, that particular game was a lot of fun, because they also had Jerry Stiller there, you know, who played George's dad. And so I got to hang out with him. And so that was my fun part of that night, was getting to spend the evening hanging out with Jerry Stiller. And he was such a nice guy. I actually told him, I said, I have these friends that are a gay couple, and they're big fans of yours from Hairspray. And he goes, give me your address. And about a week after I came home, I got a couple of autographed pictures from him.
Oh, my gosh.
To give to my friends. And
I mean,
he was such a nice guy.
Yeah, I still can't believe he passed away. When I heard that news, like, I keep saying that 2020, I don't know how you've been feeling. How have you been feeling with the stay-at-home order? And how do you get by months and months and months with the stay-at-home order? Because, you know, I live in Seattle, so we were the first cases known. So, you know, I haven't done anything besides doing interviews since February 28th, besides going to the grocery store. Like, I haven't been on a trip or anywhere. So how has it been for you?
Well, it's very interesting, because I'm the kind of person that, you know, I love to spend my evenings just sitting on the couch watching television, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, I've been binge-watching the entire series of West Wing. So, I love old movies and stuff. So, my evenings haven't changed too much. You know, I'm a kind of a homebody, but life in general is just very strange to, you
mm-hmm.
know, at wanting to go to the grocery store. And sometimes I'll jump out of my car and I'll take about 10 steps and then I'll realize, oh, I forgot my mask. And then I have to go back to my car and get my mask so I could go into the grocery store. And I actually have been very lucky. Some of my friends, lost a lot of their work. And although I lost a lot of appearances, usually I travel around, like summers, I always do about 5 or 6 minor league baseball game nights. And I kind of miss those because it's fun to throw out the first pitch and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And,
of course.
So those
yeah.
All... But luckily for me, I do cameos. And as far as cameo.com goes, they actually have elevated during the coronavirus pandemic, because that's what people are doing for birthday gifts and stuff, is they're sending each other cameos. So because of Cameo, I've not had to hurt financially. So I'm very grateful to them for that. But life itself, yes, has been very strange. I go out and I run every morning, and when I see people coming my way, I run to the other side of the street. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I feel very unfriendly. And if I'm in the grocery store, if someone gets a little too close to me sometimes, I step away from them. And there's this weird sort of very unfriendly feeling about this life, you know, trying to stay away from people and that kind of thing. And I've been Zooming a lot with my friends since we can't get together.
I mean,
you know, they'll send out emails and go, hey, let's do a Zoom karaoke night or, you know, whatever. And, you know, 5 or 6 of us will get together. Or we even the other night, my friends and I actually did a Zoom play reading of the play The Dresser. One of my friends cast us all as parts, and, you know, we all called it, you know, went into the Zoom site, and we read the play. you know, just for fun. So life has been very different from what it used to be.
I'm grateful. I mean, not because I'm a stay-at-home mother, but I've had so much work on this show that I've had in the past 2 years. I'm working so slowly because, basically, Hollywood kind of did me a favor by shutting down because no one could say no to me. So in that respect, I was grateful. But in the respect of not going anywhere, I like to stay home at night too and just binge watching. But I think once this is over, I don't know how I'm going to remember how old you in a restaurant because I haven't done that since February. So, yeah, that's going to be the crazy part of that.
You know,
and,
I've spent some time in Seattle, and you have such great restaurants there. And
oh, yeah,
every
we do.
Time I've been there, I've been to Pike's Fish Market, you know. So,
oh, my gosh, yes. And, like, everything like that, they had it closed down. They had it closed, Pike Place Market, they had it closed down the States, Neil. Everyone is still hurting. And Seattle, I mean, Washington really has not got any help from the administration. So it's really, we've been on our own since January. So it's this crazy world that we live in. And but if I don't bring on Bobby and David, I know I'm never going to hear the end of it because, I don't know, the boys, David was so excited to get you. He was, well, I didn't see him jumping up and down. But if we were probably in the same room, he would be jumping up and down. So, and Bobby cannot wait to talk to you. So usually I will put on David first and then Bobby. But tonight I'm switching it because I know Bobby really wants to talk to you. And here, Bobby.
Hey. Hey.
Hello.
Hello? Yeah, this is Bobby.
Hi.
Hey, I just want to ask you, first of all, and this might be a funny question that probably been a recurring question you get for the last 30 years, but how many people have come up to you and just said no soup for you? Or how many times you went to a restaurant ordering soup and they just say that just because they've seen you on Seinfeld?
Right. It happens sometimes. It's fun when it does, you know, but sometimes I'll go into a restaurant and I will order soup, you know, just because I, you know, I want some. And sometimes the waiter just, you could just see the waiter sort of stifling a giggle, you know, like they don't want to say anything, but they think it's funny, you know, that I'm there and I'm ordering soup.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, how many people have seen that episode? I mean, they at least, I mean, if they got TBS or seen episodes growing up, they know who you are.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, though. A lot of times people don't recognize me because I'm not wearing a chef's uniform. So it doesn't happen all the time because a lot of times, you know, people would recognize the soup Nazi in his chef's costume. So... You know, it's sort of a sometimes thing, but not all the time.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that you had to cancel a lot of minor league baseball appearances. Well, when things get back to normal, I hope you can probably come to my hometown of Fayetteville, North Carolina, to our minor league game and throw out the first pitch and sign autographs because we attempted to get Nick Foley from the WWE and one of the guys from the office here, but because of the situation, we had to cancel those events, and eventually the minor league season got canceled. So So it would be great once things get back to normal to do that for our minor league baseball team here in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, trying to think of the North Carolina team I did. I did one team there. Was that the Mudcats? I'm trying to think. Because I've done minor league teams in so many different states. But I've definitely been there, and I've definitely done some baseball there. But, yeah, that I hope that when things get back to normal, I get to do more games, because that was always fun, you know? Nothing's more fun than a nice night of baseball.
Yeah. It's great that we get a chance to do that. And there was a lot of events, and I was unfortunate not to come because of what our government had to put down with the lockdown and what the president had to say and what minor league baseball had to say when they eventually canceled it. And just watching old minor league games either online or old Durham Bulls games on one of our cable channels really just made me feel a little homesick until the major league baseball season started up. And then, fortunately, I was just cured with every sports coming back in one form or another in some sort of bubble or with or without fans.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, not being able to go to baseball games has, you know, been tough on everybody because, you know, myself included, baseball is the one sport, like I could watch a football game on television or a basketball game, but to me, baseball is the sport where you really want to be there in the stadium, you know, watching the whole field and everything.
Exactly.
So that's one that it's been pretty tough that, you know, that we haven't been able to do that.
Yes. And I just wanted to say that if they ever bring you back to do the Soup Nazi in any form of way on television, even if it's a Seinfeld reunion or for an anniversary show, because I think either sometime next year, because I think, or for some TV or virtual where it be filmed for television with the 30th anniversary, you're always welcome to talk about your favorite moments and everything else. And I just wanted to say one more, and I just want to say that if I'm ever get offered soup from somebody, and they often I end up saying, "Well, soup, I'm not going to use that line that you did."
If you want to see, I actually just did a couple of commercials. I don't know if you guys are aware, but I came up with a new phrase: "No mask, no soup."
Oh yeah!
And
oh my God, that is cool.
Say it in my cameo.
Awesome.
Go
yeah,
no mask, no soup.
Online.
And so a company called Boomer Naturals made a mask for me that says "No mask, no soup" on it, and you can get the masks on BoomerNaturals.com. And if you go there, I think if you put in like BoomerNaturals.com/soup, it takes you to a page, and you can see two different versions of the same commercial we made where we have a Donald Trump impersonator coming in to get soup, and he doesn't want to wear a mask. So there are two different endings. There's the one where he wears the mask, and there's the one where he doesn't. And
yeah.
So if you get a chance, go to the website and take a look at those two commercials.
Right.
They're very funny. I played the soup Nazi, and we got a guy that does a really funny Donald Trump impression, and
yeah.
I think you'll find those very funny.
Yeah, I think I've seen what you're talking about in memes earlier on during the pandemic, but I'll let you talk to David because he's probably going to ask more questions than I am and probably keep you on the phone for a half hour knowing him, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, Bobby, I will put on David now. Hey, David.
Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm glad to have you on. No, you're always welcome back. Come back anytime. That's it. Just come on. We are glad to have you back. A question. You don't think that one phrase would be so popular that everybody go around singing it? So popular. No suit for you. We think it will be popular. So popular now. And one line. And one line you said, we think it would be so popular.
Well, you know, it surprises me that it's so popular, and it surprises me that, you know, it's been around for so long. But I'm very grateful about it, you know. But I've never been able to figure out why it's so funny to people. But I guess it is. You know, people find it very funny.
I think it's just the way you say it. That makes it funny. The way you come
Thank
off
you.
To it. Because like everybody said it now is around knows who for you. Was that part descriptive or ad-libbed?
Oh, it was definitely written in the script. But the night before I auditioned for it, and I didn't see the script, I actually thought of the same words. I thought of saying no soup. But when I got there and I saw the scenes, I saw that it actually was written in the script. So I thought that was very funny.
And what would I work with George Cassandra? George, would I work with him, that scene, George?
What was it like working with him?
Yeah.
It was great. He was really nice right off, you know, right away. He was just a really nice guy. And he just was so much fun to work with. And I really, you know, he made my job very easy being... You know, just being really nice and easy to work with. So, and, you know, he's such a nice guy that back in 2014, I wrote a book called Confessions of a Soup Nazi, An Adventure in Cooking. And I bumped into Jason Alexander, and he asked me if he could do something for my book. So he wrote the foreword for my book.
Wow.
You know?
Yes.
He's that kind of really nice guy. Very nice.
Yeah. I also thought you all know we just think we're like doing that show. We just think.
Sorry.
We just think.
Oh, the weakest link.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, I'll tell you, that was a very interesting experience because I think the thing that most people don't know about being on game shows, or especially shows where you have to answer questions and sort of show your knowledge of things, I think the thing people don't realize is... it's not so much what you know, it's what you can remember when you're nervous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I found that to be the toughest part was in the first couple of rounds, I was so nervous that I couldn't remember the answers to things that I actually knew already. You know, but then I had a very interesting experience with the host of the show. She was trying to, you know, kind of put me down, and she said, so what have you, this, now they didn't put this on the show on TV because it made her look bad, but she said to me, so what are you doing with yourself now? And at the time I was doing the national tour of a play, and I promised the producers I would mention it on television. So I said, well, right now I'm doing a tour of a play And then she cut me off and she said, so you can't get work on film or TV, is that it? And for some reason, it just came to me. I said, Ann, I'm on TV right now. And
wow, good job.
I know. She sat there staring at me like she had nothing to say, because if she said something rude about her own TV show, it would have made her look worse. So she stared me down for a little while, and then she finally just moved on. And believe it or not, after that happened, I was the strongest link every round until I got voted off. So it's all about confidence and not being nervous. It's not so much about what you know. It's being able to remember it under pressure. So that was my experience on The Weakest Link. And until I was able to embarrass her, I didn't do so well.
I recommend the new version that is out now, the new version. It was just like, you got a new version out now. That's where we get with Jane. They have a new version of it.
Are you talking about the new version of The Weakest Link?
Yeah, no, you know, don't you like? Yeah, actually.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, and I don't know what she's doing as the host, if she's trying to, you know, what's the word, put people down like that other host did. So
no,
I haven't seen her yet.
No, Zane Lynn is going to be, better than she was. I did not like, I watched her because, like, but yeah, the host always made me mad for some reason. So I totally agree with you. And, I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, yeah. And, David, did you have any more questions?
No, besides, what do you like to do for fun? We're not working. What do you like to do? Your hobby? Do you have any hobbies? We're not working.
Okay, and Larry, before you go, we are having David's birthday party. What day, David?
When are you doing that?
We are having David's birthday party in November, and I will email you out the day and the time. And yeah, we hope you can call in and say happy birthday to David.
Yeah, well, email me all that, and hopefully I will be able to then.
Perfect. So, and we would love you back again. Let us know, let David know when you have something new, and we'll get you back on.
Okay. Hey, thank you guys so much. It was
really... You're welcome. Have a great night.
Oh, and, you know, I just wanted to I don't know what's happened to their business in the pandemic, but there was one place in Seattle that I particularly liked, and they were very nice to me, and they invited me in for a Festivus party, and it was the Perhelion Brewery.
Oh my God, yes, yeah.
They were so nice. They made Reuben sandwiches, and they were just...
Oh yeah, those are good, they are.
They've been nicer, so I hope those guys are doing okay. And,
I think they are doing okay, but, you know, once, you know, we can be normal again, I think a lot of the restaurants will be better. You know, a lot of, like, the Cheesecake Factory just went under because of the, you know, COVID. So it's just a really crazy time, but thank you so much for calling in. And we would love to have you back again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, you all.
Oh,
all
no
of
problem.
You. And hopefully I will talk to you again another time.
Okay, have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay. Bobby, are you on?
I'm back. What about, hello, David. Are you there?
Hi, Bobby.
Okay.
Okay. There's something I need to bring up. Okay. So I wasn't watching Dancing with the Stars last night. I taped it. And it was like a oh my God moment. Well, it was another word, but I can't say that, but I'm really thinking on air. And you know what? Usually I would give Tyra Banks props for being a good host and all that. But after last night of her screwing up majorly, okay, you know what? Letting Tom Bergeron and Aaron go was the biggest mistake they made.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, this is bullshit. I mean, Tyra, okay, pull back on America's Most Talented or whatever. But I don't know what ABC, and I have to be careful how I wrote this. I don't know what ABC was thinking. And today, it came to fruition that Robert Iger just pulled out of Governor Newman's task force because Disney has gone under because of this. And Disney and ABC are owned by the same company. So this is a very interesting day for this. And yes, David, you were right about Tyra, especially after last night. And also,
And to be honest with you, I'm sorry, Carly, if I interrupted
you. No,
you
don't.
But to be honest with you, I never thought like Tyra Banks as the host of America's Next Top Model. Now, I admit, she was a good talk show host, and not America's Next Top Model, I mean Dance with the Stars. But she was a good talk show host. She helped give Lonnie on Days her career. She got Cassandra from the ABC version of All My Children her career, and she got Eva, the one that was on Young and Restless as Devon's mom, her career.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not doing nothing on Dance with the Stars. I mean, if you ask me, they should have just asked Kelly Monaco to do the show. I mean, I don't know how much time she would have with that show and General Hospital, but at least she could just balance it out.
You know, yeah, and I agree. And see, David, I did bring this up, and angry and confusing are going around about the second stimulus package. I want to say this to close out the show, that if people do not get their act together and vote the son of a bitch out, we will be in this nightmare for 4 more years. And I don't think any of us want to be in this nightmare.
That's what I said last night.
Well, yeah, but if Mo went through, you know, with the limo and everything, and they are not answering the American people question with, did he have any damage? They are covering their own ass. You know, he got about 100 people infected. So I'm sorry. You know, usually I'm so compassionate for people. But how dumb do you have to be to go down Rose Garden thing and hardly anyone has masks on? And So over 100 people get it, and Kelly and Conway got it, and it affected her kids, and then she wanted to lie about it. So I'm sorry, but the way I feel is this has got to stop. We have a month. You know, we have less than 30 days before this election. And this year of any year, we got to vote this. We got to vote for Biden. And enough of these attacks about, oh, Biden doesn't know what the virus is. Why? Because he didn't have it? Okay, Biden's been smart. Okay, Biden's been wearing his mask the whole time. Pence came to Washington State when this first started, and our governor did not shake his hand because of he wasn't wearing a mask. Okay, and ever since then, Washington State has been on our own. So anyone out there listening to us, this is the time in our country that we got to vote him out. We got to vote him and Ms. McConnell out and all his enablers. We got to, you know, we got to get, you know, everyone out. Right, you guys?
I agree. And as I said last night to you, it's going to be a cold day in hell for the next 4 years if that guy is reelected. But at the same time, I've seen some of these attack ads being pulled by the Biden organization in respect to President Trump. And I will, and I think that was a smart thing to do, but the thing is, if you're going, if you want to just go a step further, just censor them from social media, censor them from YouTube, censor them from Facebook, and even these television ads, censor them, because it's not making any sense, and all it's doing is helping out this guy get reelected.
You know, yeah, and I want to end this show now because we have also on Thursday with Randy, and we have one day off, and well, we might, I'm waiting for Aaron Spears to get back to me if he's coming on Friday. But I just want to say, wash your hands, throw him out, and, you know, take a little time and enjoy the view, and have a great night, you guys.
Okay. Good night, guys.
Okay. Bye. Bye.